In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is a first for all of you who are in the first rows today, but it is a first for me too. Normally, if you were to come for confirmation and there were a sermon, the sermon would be preached sitting on that large chair called a fald stool, because it is the bishop who would be preaching. I preach to you standing up because I am a simple priest. I have been delegated by His Excellency Bishop Callahan to confer the sacrament of confirmation today at St. Mary's Oratory. I am obliged to remind you that the ordinary minister of the sacrament of confirmation is the bishop. Priests have always been extraordinary ministers of this sacrament, and in many parts of the world, especially all of the eastern part of Christianity, priests confer the sacrament of confirmation on a regular basis. Here, however, it is an extraordinary ministry for the priest, which is conferred upon me today. It is not without some emotion that I do this, for I never imagined I would be in this position. I have mentioned to you before that I have enjoyed a consolation that not every priest gets to enjoy, and that I have given First Holy Communion now to many children whom I have baptized as well. There's a great joy when a priest remains in one place for such a long time that he can do this. Never did I suppose that some of the children to whom I gave First Holy Communion would also receive from my hand the sacrament of confirmation. Yet here we are on this beautiful first day of the month of the Immaculate Heart, the 1st of August. Do try to pay attention now, because as you probably feared, you're in for at least a brief history lesson. Why August? Why do we have a name that goes, what do we have, a month that goes by that name? It is named for Caesar Augustus, the man who reigned as emperor over the world at the time our Lord was born. It was he who proudly proclaimed that he had restored freedom to the Romans, precisely at the moment when he was taking away their freedom, doing away with the Republic and instituting an empire where the emperor would have absolute rule. The first of this month, then, among the pagan Romans, was celebrated as entering into this great month of Caesar Augustus, the savior of Rome. It is also, though, a tradition that our blessed Peter exercised, as it were, some civil disobedience. Because on this very day, as a very ancient tradition would have it, St. Peter arrived then in Rome and establishing his see there, celebrated Holy Mass on this day, and indeed consecrated the first church in Rome on the Seven Hills on this 1st of August. The church on which would one day stand, place on which would one day stand, the church called St. Peter in Chains. St. Peter was able to come and celebrate Holy Mass in Rome because long before he had been released from chains. He had been in Jerusalem in chains, and King Herod wished to keep him there and then produce him as a prize to the people. Instead, though, an angel came and delivered him from the chains of prison. Those chains were always carefully preserved as a relic. And then, after the age of persecution, those chains made their way to Rome, and a church was built to house them. The Church of St. Peter in Chains, which you can still visit today. If you look carefully in your missal, you will notice that there is another feast commemorated today, the feast of 8 martyrs, that is, of 7 brothers and their mother. It is the feast of the holy Maccabees. You may wonder why we would have that feast at the same time as a feast of St. Peter and his chains. The relics of those martyrs, those 8 martyrs, were brought to St. Peter in chains, to that church, and are still kept there to this day. Perhaps, and I certainly hope, you have already read about the holy Maccabees. If not, you can in the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of Maccabees, how even before the time of our Lord, 7 sons and their mother laid down their lives amidst the worst tortures before the cruel King Antiochus to confess their faith in a Redeemer and a resurrection to come, and their refusal to break the law of God. And so this 1st of August, as we commemorate St. Peter's delivery from chains and venerate his chains, we also commemorate these 8 holy martyrs. I am not done with my history lesson, however, because there are 8 other martyrs who come to mind, at least for me, on this 1st of August, because of one episode in the life of one of those martyrs which stays in my head, which was planted in my head before I even embraced my priestly vocation, which I have always kept dear to my heart. And never did I dream back then that I would be able to speak about this on a day when I would be celebrating the Mass of St. Peter in chains, just as this priest did so long ago. I am speaking of the 8 North American martyrs, and I know that several of you today have chosen one of them as your patron, precisely the one I wish to speak about, St. Isaac Jogues. This takes us back then to August 1st, 1642. By then, St. Isaac Jogues, along with other missionaries, Jesuit missionaries, had arrived in what was then called New France. This is long before the creation of the American colonies or the United States of America. We find ourselves in the mid-17th century. St. Isaac Jogues was one of many missionaries who came to evangelize the native peoples of this continent. And it was August 1st, 1642, that St. Isaac Jogues celebrated his very last Mass on his mission. For only a couple of days later, he was captured by the Iroquois, and he would spend the next 13 months as a prisoner and a slave, suffering the most cruel torture at the hands of his captors, who burned or cut off several of his fingers. He was finally ransomed by the Dutch, and then, after a long journey, found his way back to France, although he was scarcely recognizable. Nevertheless, once his identity was made clear, his unexpected return was cause for great rejoicing. St. Isaac's own joy, however, was much restrained by the thought that although he had now gained his liberty, he would never again celebrate Holy Mass. His chains had been loosed, just like those of St. Peter. And yet for him it seemed that that feast of St. Peter in chains was only the beginning of a captivity which would never end. This was because he could no longer licitly celebrate Mass with so many fingers missing, including the ones which are necessary for the normal celebration. But it was not to end this way, for his own order, and even the Queen of France, petitioned the Pope. And the Pope lovingly declared that, of course, he must grant the dispensation, although such a dispensation had never before been granted. "It is shameful," he said, "that the martyr of Christ should not drink the blood of Christ." And so at length, with tears of joy, Isaac Jogues ascended the altar once more to give thanks to God in the holy sacrifice. If each of you has chosen a patron saint for your confirmation today, it is for you to be someone to venerate, to call upon for aid, and to imitate. And with all the saints, whether they suffered unto blood and had red martyrdom or not, they were all examples of the virtue of courage, a virtue which blossomed in them on the day of their own confirmation. For today we speak especially of this virtue of courage and how it is conferred upon you today. That is why you are all called from this day forward soldiers of Christ. St. Isaac Jogues returned to the New World and did suffer martyrdom. He is a reminder to us that the virtue of courage is not the same as fearlessness. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that fearlessness is a fault. Any normal, healthy human being feels fear. It is related that when St. Isaac was once asked if he did not fear to suffer a cruel death in the New World, he responded, "I'm afraid of getting stung by a wasp." No, to be courageous is not to be without fear. It is not to be reckless. For us, the virtue of courage consists primarily in patience and perseverance. It is only in this way that one day we may be granted the great honor, the great palm of martyrdom. Today you are taught that you receive not only the virtue of courage, but what we call the gift of courage, the gift of fortitude. That is one of the gifts that will be implored. As the priest now raises his hands above you, he asks for the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost to come down upon you, one of which, as you well know, is the gift of courage. What we are taught by our holy faith is that, of course, the gift of courage and the virtue of courage are very similar. The gift of courage, though, adds something to the virtue of courage which you have had in you since the moment of your baptism, which continues to grow as you practice it. The gift of courage, we are taught, adds to you a firm confidence that you will receive all the helps you need from Almighty God in order to be courageous soldiers of Christ now until your death. Today we implore the protection of Saints Peter and Paul, both of whom labored in Christ unto chains. We implore also especially the intercession of the Holy Maccabees. We must remember and consider them as words spoken to you today by Holy Mother Church, those words of that loving mother to the last of her seven sons, as he, the youngest, then went, last of all, to suffer martyrdom. "I beseech thee, my son, look upon heaven and earth and all that is in them. Consider that God made them out of nothing, and mankind also. So thou shalt not fear this tormentor, but being made a worthy partner with thy brethren, receive death, that in that mercy I may receive thee again with thy brethren." Yes, from this day onward, all of you will be called to practice holy perseverance. This is what will torment you day after day as you strive to live in the world as soldiers of Christ, in a world that we know well hates Christ, but is so desperately in need of Christ. You are called, each and every one of you, to be a beacon of truth, to this dark and suffering world. May Saints Peter and Paul, the Holy Maccabees, and all of your confirmation saints intercede for you this day, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.